For that, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8?
Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at, we come to verse 14 here. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now I want to stop there and going over that issue here. We're looking at how we are led by the Spirit of God. And we've been going over the doctrines lately in the past month or so in looking at how we deal with the sufferings of this present time. And we were looking at the idea that we're to operate upon hope doctrine and consolation doctrine. And the hope doctrine is the things that we see that's spelled out in verse 22. Now, I come down to verse 22 here. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. For hope that is not seen, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, in that hope doctrine there, what we've been looking at, that hope doctrine that concerns the whole creation groaning and travailing in pain together, ourselves groaning within ourselves. We looked at the doctrines that talked about hope doctrines, which were, we looked over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when Paul says, while we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are unseen, which is you viewing things with the inner man viewpoint, and you operating upon what you don't see, what you don't have. And we liken that to the issue of we do it on a daily basis. When we hope for things, over the holidays, Christmas holiday, there were people buying gifts and things. They had anticipation on something that they ordered that they didn't possess yet. But they hoped and they waited for the delivery driver to drop it off. It's that hope and anticipation. That same hope that we have to understand is a real issue. And we're told that this is something that we have to trust in. Just as we trusted in the God the Father justified us, and he justified us onto eternal life. And because of that, we have eternal life in heavenly places. We also have to trust that he is going to do what he says and take care of that other issue with us in conforming us to the image of his son. And then we looked at the whole issue of the consolation doctrine. We went over there to Second Corinthians and looked at the issue of the consolation, how when we take what Paul is teaching us and how that consolation works for us. And that word consolation, that's that consoling. That's that doctrine, something to we use that terminology today when we say console someone. And we look at all the verses associated with that. And if you don't have those things, you can go to the site onelordonefaithonebaptism.net, and all the studies are in the weekly Bible study section. So you can access them at your leisure. And last week we started looking at the sufferings of Christ. Now the sufferings of Christ is different from the sufferings of this present time, because the sufferings of Christ is only going to be partaken by one that wants to suffer with him, that wants to live godly. And we looked at the verse last week, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Because when you make that choice on how you're going to live, And what I mean by that is you're going to live anyway, but functionally live. This is how you come to understand how to utilize his word in your life when you are suffering for Christ's sake. And that's the biggest thing there. It's for thy sake. And that's what we need to replay in our minds over and over again. But now what we're going to look at this week, we're going to look at something a little bit on the same line there. But like I said earlier last week, we looked at the consolation and hope doctrine that we have. Now this week, we're going to look at the other component. The other component that we're going to see here, they're going to be with the fruits of the Spirit, which Paul is going to be talking about that patience. He's going to be talking about that patience doctrine that we're to take also. And these are things we're going to find out that we see that are parts of the fruits of the Spirit, and how Paul himself can say that he glories in these things. But with that, keep turning your Bibles back to Romans chapter 5. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5 here. And we got to understand that when we suffer, whether by the sufferings of this present time or whether it's by the sufferings of Christ, we got to understand that it works patience within us. And by patience, it works experience in all the things that we go through. And we also have to understand and appreciate that the value that these sufferings have, not only with us, or that it should have with us, but because they work for us, a far more exceedingly eternal way to glory. But we got to understand the most crucial thing, that when we are weak, then Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And that's what we have to come to understand there. Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now again, like I said at the outset there, we understand that we've been justified by faith. We see here that you can't lose your salvation, you can't lose your justification. It says here, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have peace with him, he's not pouring out wrath on you. And because we have that, you know, we have this access, like Paul says, in this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in that fact. But we also need to understand the necessity to rejoice, as Paul says in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. See, many miss that part of that verse right there where Paul is talking about the justification in our standing that we have, but also he says, not only do you have this gift given unto you, but you also have, we're supposed to glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. See, Paul lets you know right at the outset here about another gift that you've been given, and that's the glory in tribulations. And before you even get to the sufferings in Romans chapter 8, you're given that hope doctrine of justification here, and you're given the hope doctrine of sanctification in chapters 6 through 8. Now come over to Romans chapter 12. And let's look at verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, what Paul is giving the doctrine here to these mature saints, because the saint ought to be mature at this time when he gets to Romans chapter 12. He ought to be able to be ones that Paul can say things as, Paul says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore. Paul doesn't say, if you don't do this, then God's going to do that. Paul is telling an adult son that is operating upon sonship doctrine, that he ought to do these things. He ought to, as Paul says in verse 1, come back there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, does that seem like one talking to someone and demanding a child to do something? No, Paul is talking to, is beseeching you as a adult son in Christ, that you have the capacity now to do something, to give up of yourself now, based upon the doctrine that you've learned in Romans, actually from Romans chapter 1 all the way up to that point there. Well, when you get to verse 10 here, Paul is saying that in verse 11, what I'm after is verse 11 and 12, not slothful in business. And what that means, that's not talking about your job or it, your business. He's saying not slothful in your father's business. That's why he says fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. This is the business he's talking about. Not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And we ought to be rejoicing in hope, in patient in tribulation, as we live out our lives, as we suffer this present time and we go through the sufferings of Christ, while you are presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. There's going to be sufferings that's associated with that. There's going to be times when you're going to want to throw in the towel, when you're going to want to think, you're going to wonder, is God for you or not? Well, you're given that doctrine to understand that God is for you in all your sufferings that you go through. And when you rejoice, as Paul did, see, that's that consolation doctrine. We can go back to the epistles as Paul says, follow me. And Paul says, ye know what manner of men we were among you. You knew our life and our purpose and things of that nature. And Paul could say that because that's consolation doctrine. When we look at how Paul faced these things, what it does is it produces experience with us. Then we're able to utilize his word. And a saint, actually a son and daughter in Christ, they're not going to want the sufferings of this present time or the sufferings of Christ to be taken away from them, because they're going to want that experience. They're going to want to utilize God's word the way he intended it to be utilized. And once they do that, they're going to rejoice in hope. And that's what you're doing. You're rejoicing in hope doctrine. You're rejoicing in consolation doctrine. You're rejoicing in that patience that Paul talks about here in the other scriptures. You're rejoicing in that doctrine that is designed to help you out in whatever you're facing. Now come over to Romans 15. While you're here in Romans, come over to chapter 15. And we're going to see that these things that we see, they are the fruits of the Spirit. That means the benefits of the Spirit. You will find the benefits of the Spirit when you do suffer. You will be able to utilize God's word for what it's designed to work as. Romans 15, let's look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see what Paul's saying here? Paul is saying that, he said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, which is the purpose, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And see, that's where we find our hope at. You find your hope in the patience, you find your patience and comfort in the hope
of the scriptures. Like I said last week, not with a self-help book or medical pills or things like that. And that's something that a saint would do if they're not fully educated yet. And they would need to operate upon a medical system to get over some of the sufferings they're going through and things like that. But God has designed that in conforming us to the image of his Son, that we operate upon this doctrine that is effectual, meaning it is the most effective way. There's no other way to get this thing done. And when you see Paul say things like he glories in tribulation and he's exceeding joyful in all his tribulation, that doesn't sound like a person that goes to the doctor once a week or takes a pill every other day to get rid of their problems. That sounds like someone that has it the best way that you can ever get it. And that sounds like a gift that we ought to come to understand. And when you're looking at verse 5 here, now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another. Because that's also what it does. It works patience and consolation. Just like verse 4 says, patience and comfort. And that produces hope, the hope that we're supposed to operate upon. Now, let's come over to 2 Corinthians. Let's come over to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at a couple of verses we looked at last week. But now we're looking at it in a different light, because now we're viewing it not just looking at the hope and the consolation doctrine, but we're looking at it with the patience that we're told we're supposed to have and that experience that we're told that we're supposed to utilize. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, and watchings, and fasting. Now, let's stop there. Because Paul is saying that verse 4, but in all things, meaning all the sufferings we're going to go through, this is what we're doing. We're still, but in all things, he's saying we're still approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And he's going to tell you the things that he's going, what those all things are. In much patience. That's the first thing he says at the outset, because that's what we're to operate upon. When you're operating upon patience, he says, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors. You notice the first thing he mentioned was patience before he mentioned what happens to him, the things that he suffered. Pick it back up here, verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Now, look at how he gets this done. Look at how he deals with these things with much patience. Verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. Yeah, well, let's stop there. But this is how he accomplished these things. This is how Paul was more than a conqueror over afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings. This is how he did that. He operated upon patience, but also because he understood, because of, as he said, pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love. Because he operated upon these things he trusted in these things. Notice the benefit that Paul got from these things. The pick it back up here, verse 8. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. Now I'm going to stop there because Paul is, what he's doing is, that hope doctrine that he's operating upon, he's not looking at the things which are seen. He's looking at the things which are unseen. He knows the bigger picture, and you could hear it playing over in Paul's mind all the time, for thy sake, Lord, for thy sake. And that's what he knew. It was for the Lord's sake, not what Paul was experiencing. Look at verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Now, when Paul says always, that means all the way. Yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Even though Paul's outer man was experiencing the sufferings of this present, of the sufferings of Christ, his inner man was saying, well, his outer man says, always sorrowful. The inner man was rejoicing. Outer man as poor. The inner man understands yet making many rich. Outer man having nothing. Inner man yet possessing all things. Paul was looking at what he see not. He was hoping for that he see not. And looking at the things which are unseen. Now let's come over to 1 Thessalonians. Let's come over to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to look at a couple more verses here. And then what I have to do also is I'm going to go back to the scriptures to show that when we're looking at the whole idea of the adoption of sons that we have and the sufferings, you notice Paul mentions to us about the sufferings of the present time. He starts at Romans chapter 8. You don't have to turn there right now. But he starts in Romans chapter 8, 14, and he's talking about, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then he tells you about the idea of you're a son. Then he mentions sufferings. As soon as he mentions to you about God dealing with you as a son and adopting you as a son, the next thing he mentions to you is sufferings. He mentions to you about the sufferings of the present time. And then later on, the rest of the half of the chapter, he mentions about the sufferings of Christ. And there's a reason for that. And we're going to get into that a little later, but 1 Thessalonians, and let's come to chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love. Oh, sorry, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and in our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not only unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now you see in verse 3, Paul says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and the Father. Now, we've got to remember something. 1 Thessalonians was written around the same time that 1 Corinthians was written and the book of Galatians was written. They were written roughly 5 years apart, and in some cases not even that far apart. But when you notice the doctrine, you notice the doctrine that Paul gives to the Thessalonians versus the doctrine he gave to the Corinthians or the Galatians. With the Corinthians, Paul called the Corinthians babes. Paul said that he could not feed them with meat. He had to give them milk because they were not able to bear it. The Galatians he called foolish.
But yet you see here what he how he talks about the Thessalonians. Because, see, the Thessalonians were operating upon a different I'm not saying they were operating upon a different doctrine, but they were operating, they were different breed of saints. Let's put it in that sense. They were saints that wanted to cry Abba Father. They wanted to be treated as adult sons in Christ. They wanted the sufferings of Christ. They rejoiced in the sufferings of Christ. They wanted to, as Paul says in verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now you see Paul says, and ye became followers, in verse 6, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. See, because when Paul says that, he's saying that not only did they see Paul's manner of life, as he said there, and they followed Paul's example, and they suffered for Christ's sake, but he says, and of the Lord. And when you see in Romans chapter 8, and when it says about, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, that's what the verse is talking about here. These saints were also ones. These saints were being ones that were joint heirs with Christ. And as Romans 8:17 says, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. These saints were adult sons in Christ. They could take that meat doctrine and allow it to work effectually within them. And as you see here, he says verse 5 here, for our gospel came not only unto you in word, because the Corinthians got it in word, the Galatians got the gospel in word, but he says, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And that much assurance, see, that's, they trusted in that doctrine. They trusted that it was going to work. They trusted in that hope doctrine. And what it did was it produced joy with the saints. And they rejoiced. And if you look at some of the other, if you read the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you'll see that these guys, they wanted more tribulation. They wanted more sufferings. They gloried in it. And you see in verse 6, he says, having received the word in much affliction with joy. Paul didn't go and say, well, I used to be a terror myself. If people are going to afflict you, I'm going to come there and handle things the way I used to. No, Paul wanted them to. Paul wasn't concerned with the outward man suffering because he gave him doctrine to take care of that. He was concerned with them growing exceedingly in the doctrine for their inner man, the one that the Father can use, the one the Father is going to use in heavenly places. Let's come over to 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to take a look at some of that doctrine there, 2 Thessalonians here. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's come to verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. And this right here should say it all. These saints here in Thessalonica, they were, as Paul says, their faith grew exceedingly. Now, if you look at some of the things that were said that Paul gloried in those saints, and he said that all the saints of the world looked upon the Thessalonian saints as an example, unto them, because how their faith was. And now in 2 Thessalonians, Paul's saying their faith is growing even more. And he said that it abounded. He said that the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded. They were operating upon
agape love. They were adult sons and daughters in Christ. Paul didn't have to come along and reprove them or rebuke these guys. And verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God. Paul is saying that he has to take a step back and glory in the Thessalonian saints. And he says, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulation that ye endure. See, they were enduring these things, and they were glorying in them. They wanted more, even if it cost their life. Now come over to 2 Timothy. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy here. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy, and let's look at chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's come down to verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What Paul is telling Timothy here, Paul is saying, Timothy is fully known, as Paul says, my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, and all these things. Paul is that example, that consolation doctrine, that when Timothy goes through the things he goes through, and he did, being a great pastor himself, going through the things he went through, he could understand and know what Paul went through. That's where that consolation doctrine comes in, that consoling. And that consoling doctrine, that worketh patience, it worketh hope, it works long-suffering, it works peace, it works joy. And that's the way it's designed to work. And as Paul says, Paul's saying that persecutions, afflictions, in verse 11, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Paul says he endured all those things. And then he says, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And when people read this, the only thing they see is, I went through these things, the Lord delivered me. That's all they see. They see these things as, you get in the problem, your father's going to pull you out of it. Well, that only works so much with a child. But when that child gets of age, they're not going to be 40 years old still asking you what color furniture they should buy or what color should they paint the walls or which house they should buy. They're going to make those decisions that you've taught them based upon all the things you've taught them while they were being groomed, you were bringing them up. There's adoption that each one of our children goes through. And what I mean by adoption, I'm not talking about the court system. I'm talking about it comes a time when a kid, even when they get to 5, 6 years old, they start asking questions. Why? They want to know, and oftentimes we just tell them, well, because I said so, or that's just the way it is, or whatever the situation. But when they get a certain age, that's not going to work. They have to know why. So Paul is telling Timothy here, operate upon what I've taught you, how you've seen me. Operate upon these things. He explained, yea, verse 12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, 99.9% of churchgoers today will tell you that they live godly in Christ Jesus. They're going to tell you that because they don't have an idea of what godliness is truly all about thinking like God does,
doing things his way and working together with him in what he's doing. But as it says here, they all the will of God in Christ Jesus shall suffer. That's functional living. You're going to suffer persecution when you decide you want to cry a father and you want to be educated by him. And you want to declare the gospel, and that's only going to come to ones that want to work with their father, do things his way. Again, like I said at the outset, right there, you have to understand too, once you do that, verse 13 is going to come your way. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul says, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's the consolation doctrine right there, as Paul is telling you, continue in the things. You're going to have those things come your way. You're going to suffer persecution. You can avoid it, but if you avoid it, you're not going to be going through the sufferings of Christ. These evil men and seducers, they are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In the Lord's day, who were the evil men and seducers in his day? They were the religious system. In Paul's day, the religious system. Who are they in our day? The religious system. And it's not your Muslim, Buddhist, and Hindu, the rest of them. Those guys aren't declaring Christ. You already know what you're getting with those guys. They're Christ rejectors. But these are the ones who are saying, as you see in 2 Timothy 2.16, when Paul talks about the, let's come over there, 2 Timothy 2.16. Actually, you can go to 2 Timothy 2.15 first. 2 Timothy 2.16, 15 actually. I had to get there myself first. Okay. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is the way we ought to study our Bible. We're told that. This is how you're told to study your Bible. Rightly dividing what God is doing today and knowing and understand where and when you fit in God's program. You know, I know you guys understand that. Verse 16 is what I'm after, 16 and 17. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philolytus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and have overthrown the faith of some. Now see, these guys, they're preaching Christ. They have to be, because they said the resurrection is past already. They're preaching Christ, but they're just preaching him in a different dispensation. They're preaching him as the rapture's gone, came already. And they've overthrown the faith of some. But these guys are, and look what Paul says in verse 16, but they will increase unto more what? Ungodliness. It'd be Christian ungodliness. But that's what these people over the evil men and seducers that we have today, that's what they're doing there. Waxing worse and worse, deceiving, and they're being deceived. This is where your opposition is going to come in at. Your opposition is not going to be from someone at work or something like that, as long as if you're discussing the doctrine. But let's come over to Galatians, and then again, we're going to take a look at, after we finish this verse here, we're going to come back and take a look at some of the oppositions that the son is going to face and daughter is going to face in Christ when you do live godly in Christ Jesus. And some of the things that we see the Apostle Paul went through, or the Lord Jesus Christ himself also went through. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And then we're going to see, we're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit there, the benefits that we get when we are led by the Spirit in our sufferings of this present time and in the sufferings of Christ. Romans chapter 5, let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, I'm going to stop there. But you see the things that's spelled out there in verses 22 and 23. Paul is saying that those are the fruits of the Spirit. And these words that we've seen Paul use these words when he suffered in those verses we just looked at. All those afflictions that Paul went through, the distresses that Paul went through, the sufferings and tribulations that the Thessalonians went through, we see Paul use these same words. He used these same words to show how he felt after he endured these things and how he went through these things. He utilized the fruits of the Spirit. Because when he did suffer, there was joy, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. He said he used love. At the Thessalonians, he said charity against one another, because charity is an action of love. And he talked about the peace, that peace that he had, that, remember, he said long suffering, he said much suffering. He talked about gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And then he says, they that are Christ have crucified with the flesh the affections and lust. And he talks about living in the Spirit. Because that's what you'd be doing when you're utilizing the fruits of the Spirit. And that's the benefits and fruits of God's Word. When you allow that to work effectively within you, it's going to produce these things here. And when you're walking after the Spirit, is you being led by the Spirit of God, as Romans 8:14 says. That's being led by God's Word. And that's not something like people talk about today, being led by the Spirit, as it's some mystical thing where they just sit back and the Spirit leads them. We find this, the Spirit is God's Word. It's the ministry of the Holy Ghost placed upon black and white for us to live by, to be led by. Now let's look at one more thing, and then I want to take a look at some things. Let's come to 1 Corinthians here. Let's come to 1 Corinthians. And let's look at chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is when Paul is talking about the spiritual gift thing. And in the spiritual gifts, Paul is explaining that was the less excellent way to get things done, to get God's word accomplished and God's word across at that time. And he's explaining to the Corinthians here about how operating upon love is the most excellent doctrine. When you look at the book of Philemon, that's a love and charity book. That's maturity. That's what a mature saint would operate upon. But a child would operate upon these spiritual gifts. But look at 1 Corinthians 13. Let's look at verse 6 here. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I'm pointing that out because in the midst of Paul explaining about the way they were walking as children and not operating upon sound doctrine, Paul is telling them about rejoicing in the truth. Don't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Then he says, beareth all things. Now, if you beareth all things, is you enduring it. But in order to do it, you have to believe it. You believe it on that hope, as he says, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And that's the step in how we do these things. Because of hope doctrine, you're going to endure it. And when we go through the things we go through today with the sufferings of this present time, you're going to go through those things anyway.
You can either go through them with a understanding that is darkened and keep going through them and getting how this and fixing how this world fixes it. Or when you go through these things, you can learn to rejoice in these things. You can operate upon the fruits of the Spirit when you do go through these things, and you will.
Now let's come back. Let's come back to the Book of Mark, and I want to go over what we talked about at the issue outset there about when the Lord Himself went through these things, and what right when He became when you see Him get baptized by John, it says immediately the Spirit drave Him into the wilderness. Okay, and there's a reason for that. Now come over to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to see that there. Mark chapter 1. And let's look at verse 6. Mark chapter 1, verse 6.
And John was clothed, that's John the Baptist, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drave him into the wilderness. And there he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now you notice right after the Father says, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately he was taken to be tempted of Satan. You notice the parallel with Paul giving us the doctrine as about that adoption that we have. Then immediately he talks about the sufferings of this present time. Later on, a couple of verses later, he starts talking about the whole creation that it's also waiting for the manifestation of the sons, adoption of sons. Because of sin, because of Satan. Because that's the first thing, that's what Satan does. Because when you are ones that want that adoption, that want to be a joint heir with Christ, suffering with him, taking upon the sufferings of Christ, you are going to be affected, as we've seen, as Paul told us. You see over there in Timothy we looked at about evil men and seducers. He tells you about living godly and you're going to suffer persecution. Next verse, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Because that's the design of Satan, to hinder your growth as a son. Because just any old saint that understands justification, you're not a threat to Satan. He's not happy that you became justified, and now that victory, that cross is being put on display, and that victory is being shown. But when you understand the doctrine of sonship, and you understand about being that son in whom the Father can say, I am well pleased, you're a threat to Satan. Because now you're not going to be affected by the sufferings of this present time because you have that doctrine. You rejoice in it. You put the power of Christ on display, because when you're weak, then Christ's strength is made perfect in weakness. And when we see those verses about Christ's strength being made perfect in weakness, who do you think it's being shown to? It's being shown unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. It's being put on display before them and Satan. Not only is the Father's angels rejoicing, but Satan and his angels are made out to look like fools. And by you
operating upon this doctrine. Now, come over to the book of Luke. We'll look at a couple others. Come over to the book of Luke. And let's look at Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And let's come to verse 20. Likewise, and this is, they're at the Lord's Supper here, they're at the table, and the Lord is explaining to, is going to give the apostles the definition of what the cup is all about. He's going to tell them about that New Testament. He's going to tell them about, they're going to be ones that's going to be preaching this doctrine. In his stead, he's going to be gone. He's not going to be here on this earth anymore. So they were going to be an extension of the Lord going out teaching the New Testament. They're going to be teaching the doctrine because the New Testament, the death of that testator, that's why you see in Acts chapter, right at the outset of Acts, it talks about the Holy Ghost. Now you see the Holy Ghost ministry in writing these things down for us. Luke 22, verse 20. Likewise, the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now notice, the Lord here is taking these apostles. He's acting as he is giving them this doctrine. And they are acting as sons who are going to go out and teach this. But notice, after he says, you're going to go out and teach this stuff. You're going to teach this doctrine. Notice the next verse. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, that is yet was determined, woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. Now he's giving them doctrine and telling them what they're going to do in the ministry. The next thing he do, he gives them a warning. Then, verse 23, it says, and they begin to inquire among themselves which it was that should do this thing. Okay, we can see that. But look at verse 24. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be counted the greatest. Now, what does that have to do with anything? But look what the Lord says. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But it shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him as be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. And come down to verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Notice what the Lord is saying, they're going to be going through some temptations. They're going to be suffering. They're going to be suffering because of, they're going to be preaching this doctrine. They're going to be going out there living godly. Verse 29, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Look at verse 31, after he told them what job they're going to have. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now let's stop there. We don't need to go down any further, but you notice, so the Lord gives them what their job is going to be. He says, teach this New Testament, my blood, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at the table. Then he tells them that they're going to be sitting on 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. Then he tells them about Satan's desire to have him. Because when you are living godly, when you are going to do this thing as the way the Lord said we ought to do, when I say this thing is the ministry that we have, what we've been given as ones who want to be educated, to cry, Abba, Father. Now let's take a look at one more. Come over to Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts chapter 20. And here we see Paul knowing himself he's going to be going to bear witness in Rome. And like he's going to say, he doesn't know if he's going to see their face anymore. And he's going to tell these pastors and elders how they ought to take care of that church, because he knows he's not going to be able to do the footwork anymore. Look what he says here. Let's come to verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. Bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. Notice that small case S. That's bound in his spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And you notice, Paul is saying that he talks about these afflictions that he went through in every city, and he did. But he says, none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself. The only thing that Paul wanted to do, he says here, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord. And notice what he's going to say here. Look at verse, come down to verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Now, again, you see Paul's telling, he's giving these guys a warning. He's telling them to take heed unto themselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made them overseers. Paul's saying, take a step back and look at yourself and look after the church. And he's telling them that to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is their job they're going to be doing. This is their ministry. Look at the next thing he gives them. For know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Notice, among them. And also one of them also, to get to make long story short, we see what Paul is doing here. And we see how the Father has been teaching, how a father teaches the son. And we can see that in the book of Proverbs. You see the doctrine of a father to a son, and then you see a warning. But what we're supposed to do is operate upon that hope doctrine, that consolation doctrine, that patience doctrine, that experience doctrine, and understand that once we do that, that's the only way we can live godly in Christ Jesus and go through the sufferings of this present time and with joy. We're going to go through the sufferings of this present time and also the sufferings of Christ. But you want to do it in a way where it's pleasing unto the Father. And when you are going through the sufferings of Christ or the sufferings of this present time, you have to remember, as Romans chapter 8 talks about, Romans 8, when it talks about when Christ said, when Paul says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And this is what we need to keep replaying in our minds. In verse 36 there, Romans 8, verse 36, for thy sake. Because when you do that, you're looking at things that you see not. You're hoping for what you see not. You're hoping, you're looking at what you cannot see. These are things that you're rejoicing in. So I'm going to close there. And next week we're going to start on the next couple of verses. We're going to come down to the expectation of the creature. We're going to look at that and things of that nature and how the creature has been affected by that. And the creature also is operating upon a hope doctrine itself. And we're going to see the wonderful aspects of that. And then later on in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at in verse 22 about the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. And we're going to be looking at the sufferings of this present time and death. And we're going to be looking at how we should view when our loved ones suffer,
or if our loved ones or ourselves face death and how we're taught that. We're going to be looking at that in verses 22 on down. So that'll be very interesting also. So, again, with that, I'm going to close, but I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. *61 will get you into the queue. If you have any question, comment, you can feel free to press *61, and that will get you into the queue. And, again, we're going through these things down here because the whole issue of that, if you get a chance, look at Romans 8, 19, 20, and 21, because these are the doctrines we're going to be taking a look at. It's very fascinating things concerning the heavens and how the Father, how Satan has just his sin has corrupted those realms and things like that. I'm going to go to the first caller here. 3366, you're in the queue.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. How are you doing there, sister?
I'm fine, Pastor Jones. Thinking about suffering, when we're counted as sheep for the slaughter, and the world actually is the sheep for the slaughter because the wages of sin is death. And to us, it's eternal life and it's a gift. I think about how suffering for Christ is so much miraculous than the suffering for Satan when we was in the world. Mm. And the suffering for Satan was death. The things that we went through, we allowed him to take us through and to go through these things with him and to not worry or to be upset or fret or just willing to the next day go on and do it again and looking forward to doing it again. Right. The same thing we should be with Christ is that should be a willing mind to be rejoicing and to know that there is a better day. It's always a better day. And the song says sweeter with Jesus every day. It's sweeter and sweeter. It's not worse and worse. It's sweeter and sweeter.
That's right.
So he gave every man a free will choice to suffer for with the people of God and to enjoy pleasure or to, you're going to suffer anywhere you go in this, the wages of sin is death and mm-hmm. the gift of God is eternal life. You choose which suffering you want.
Right.
What life, how you want your life to be.
Right.
What you want to trust, the word or trust Satan, man, rules and regulations.
That's right. That's right. And that's the whole key. I think that what people need to, I hope they understand and appreciate the fact that I can't make anyone cry out for Father.
Right.
No one else can but ourselves. We are the ones that want this. And you see when Paul talked about Demas, you know, and he says, Demas has forsaken me and chose to follow this present world.
Right.
But then he says, only Luke is with me. And that's something heartfelt to say because Paul is saying that all through all this, Luke was experiencing the same things Paul was experiencing if he was with him. But the other saints, they didn't want to, you know, hold in there with Paul. So, it's something that we need to take the initiative to want to be educated. You know, we don't want our children to be ones that just take what we've taught them and mm-hmm. let it fall by the wayside. So,
right.
It's true.
To be saved by grace through faith, trust in what Jesus did on the cross, believing he died and was buried and rose the third day to save us is, to me, is just awesome. I mean, so many things I did 50-something years to say I was saved, you know, did what man told me for 50-something years to believe I was saved and suffer with man teaching me and telling me no proof of anything.
Right.
It's miraculous. I mean, I'm willing to just love him and stay in love with him and to just get lost in him, you know. He's just awesome, you know. I mean, to have the real, genuine Holy Ghost that I didn't have and I thought I had and I do have now, you know, it's just awesome.
Yeah, well, and that's what we're to operate upon, the Holy Ghost is doctrine. That spirit that we're to be led by, you know, and again, in Galatians 4, the whole point of us, when Jesus died on the cross, wasn't only just to save us, it's that to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons,
that
we may become sons also.
Amen.
Sanctifying us and exalting us is another aspect of that cross, what it did for us.
Amen.
But I do appreciate your comment, as always, and I thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Bye. We'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, again, *61, we'll get you into the queue. *61, we'll get you into the queue. And, again, if you get your chance, take a look at Romans 8, 19 through 21, because we're going to be taking a look at that next week. About the earnest expectation of the creature and how that waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, with that, I'm going to